Dave, it's interesting. I commented earlier today to some folks. You beat Philadelphia, the vibe nationally changes a little bit. Philadelphia played well. I don't know that it's the best team the Falcons have beaten in this 7-0 start. Every win's a good win, as you know better than most. But it's seemingly starting to happen. This little creep of respectability is starting to develop for this football team. But well said. You come off an open date. You go on the road. You score in your first six possessions. You make a statement about who you are yesterday.
Yeah, I think that more than anything else, you make a statement to yourself. I don't think they're overly worried about what's going on outside the building or anybody else, what they're talking about. Are they getting better each and every week? And I think that incrementally throughout the season, so far, the first seven, you've won them all, but you've made adjustments and you've gotten better in some areas.
Yeah.
I thought the offensive line played very well yesterday. You ran to the tune of 145 yards yesterday. It was your season high. You did a good job of protecting your quarterback. And then defensively, it was maybe their best tackling performance of the year, because they will not see another team that's as fast as that team is on the perimeter. Did a good job of limiting explosion plays.
No question about it. I thought that the other thing, you mentioned the run game, and that kind of got lost in the 6-for-6 conversions early and some of the things they were able to do on third down and the like. To run for 145, 146 yards against a group averaging, less than that, allowing less than that in the ball game, that was pretty good. I mean, that was kind of following up on what you said you were going to do going to the bye week.
Well, if you started thinking about what you might do should you have to play on the road in the playoffs outside, that was a very similar scenario of what it would look like. The weather was nasty. The wind was blowing. The rain started coming in about midway through the second quarter, started spitting rain, got more and more steady as the game went along. You were able to run the football. You were able to throw the football. And those are the kind of things when you start talking about that they want to attach to Atlanta, that they're a dome team. That didn't look anything like a connotation. I'm doing to get a little quote marks, dome team. That's a team that ran the football just under 150 yards. Ryan threw for 260 yards, completed, 70% of his passes yesterday, and threw three touchdowns with no turnovers. I mean, that was a nice performance to kind of mid-season gauge where you are, knowing you need to get better and be playing your best in December.
And Philadelphia was the 10th best run unit in the National Football League coming into the ball game yesterday. But Atlanta goes to 7-0, and now on Sunday night, we'll welcome the Dallas Cowboys to the Georgia Dome for a kick of 8:20. A national television audience will be able to look on the Cowboys. Of course, hard luck. Great comeback after falling behind yesterday to the Giants and then fall 29-24 in one of the more bizarre endings in week 9 of the NFL. But head coach Mike Smith along. Congratulations on the win. Congratulations on the victory coming off that bye week. We were talking after the game for television. Kind of said what you were going to do and focus on the bye week and went out and did it yesterday.
Yeah, it was a well-played football game yesterday, and we felt like we needed to go out and start fast. And I don't know how you can start any faster than we did in terms of going 18, or 16 plays for 80 yards and then a three and out with the defense. And it was a good punt return, so the special teams got involved, played on a short field, and before you know it, we're up 14-0, and that will get you going in the right direction when you start that way.
Well, Smitty, congratulations, first of all. 50 wins now, all-time leading winning coach in Falcon history in just 71 games. And I know you're going to disperse this to your coaching staff, your players, and the people that work in the front office, all that kind of stuff, because that's who wins football games. That's who you are. 71 games, and I'll tell this for the fans. They don't need to comment on it. Third fastest time in NFL history, George Seifert, 62 games. The old ground Chuck Knox at 65, and Smitty does it in 71 games with the help of everybody else in the building. But congratulations to you and the entire organization on what you've done over 4.5 years.
Well, thank you. And it's it's an organizational accomplishment. We've done some very nice things, and everybody's been a part of it. And there's some people that are not here that have been a part of it, and there's some people that have been here from day one. And we've got a lot. We got a lot bigger goals and a lot more things to accomplish than what we've been able to do thus far. But thank you very much.
I want to ask you specifically about two areas that I thought were going to be key in the game, and I made them my keys. How good does your offensive line play? And there's a little caveat to that because I know you were looking at Garrett before the game. Could he go? Could he not go? He worked really hard to try to be ready for you. Just wasn't quite ready. So Peter Kahns, your rookie, plugs in. And that group runs the ball for 145 yards and really took care of Ryan, gave an opportunity to throw the ball. It was a really a solid effort by that group up front. And then the other part of it was, and I knew this was a premium for you, how you guys leveraged the football. No monster explosive plays from maybe the fastest team in the National Football League.
Well, those were two important things. The play of the offensive line, that defensive front at Philadelphia is one of the most talented in the NFL. And they do a great job with the rotation. And we did a very good job. Peter took most of the snaps during the week. We made the decision right before game time with in terms of having Peter go, and I thought he handled it extremely well. Our offensive pass protection was outstanding, even though the score sheet says we gave up two sacks. One was a fall down in which we instructed the quarterback to fall down, and then the other one was really a scheme thing. It really wasn't on our offensive line. It was something schematically that we'll take as coaches. It wasn't a sack. And we kept our quarterback clean, and I think he operated extremely well. His quarterback rating was 137.9. So that was, you know, that was important. We were able to run the football. And then I thought we did a much better job leveraging and tackling. And that was something that we emphasized all week. Spent it on Monday, spending probably 20 minutes just on the fundamentals of tackling and leveraging the football, and it paid dividends for us. This was a very explosive offense, and we were able to basically contain them, did the best job all season long in terms of our tackling.
Really a concerted effort by Marty Morningwig and Andy Reid to try to get his playmakers the ball in space. A lot of screens, a lot of opportunities to get them the ball quickly and give them, kind of build a punt return for them, but your guys are ready.
Yes, I thought we handled the quick screens very well. And, you know, those are basically turned into running plays. And LeSean McCoy, the very first run, I mean, he's on the right sideline, and he ends up on the outside the hash on the other side, and you know, we were able to leverage it because those plays can get out. If they get out the back door, they can go for a long ways, and we did a nice job. And if you were out here watching practice on Monday, we were basically breaking down the fundamentals of how you have to defend those types of plays, almost in a remedial fashion. But it felt like that was something that we needed to do. We really needed to emphasize it, and we wanted our guys to understand how important it was, and they went out and executed.
Obviously, it's something that you can use going forward, too. It's not just a one-week process here. I mean, they're LeSean McCoy's. Fortunately for you, they're few and far between. Hopefully he's the only one because he's really good. But at the same time, here comes Felix Jones this week with Dallas and on down the road, right?
Oh, yes. This was something that we had to address because it was something we were not doing very well through the first six games. And we had the bye week to really analyze and put together a plan and how we wanted to attack it as a coaching staff. And I thought our guys did an outstanding job in the bye week. And I want to say this, you know, we always talk about the numbers and looking at the efficiency of, okay, this play or that play against this defense, that defense. And we really spent more time this bye week by design trying to change it up and looking at our guys and what technical things have they not been doing well and looking at the little things and trying to build a foundation coming off that bye week. And we're going to get another opportunity to do that later in the season after we play our Thursday night game. We're going to have, quote, we call it a mini bye week because we go from Thursday to Sunday. And we will have a practice that will be a Falcons on Falcons. And I'm sure that we'll have identified some things that we're going to need to drill down on and work on.
We're live here at Flowery Branch with Falcons head coach Mike Smith, the Mike Smith Coaches Show, of course, every Monday after a Falcon ball game presented by Superior Plumbing with Dave Archer, West Durham. I want to ask you just about the transaction of Corey Peters to activate him late in the week, get him back yesterday, I think 20, 25 snaps, if I'm right, somewhere in that ballpark. It's got to make you feel good that you can get another guy back who is a presence defensively who had a productive 2011 for you, and you've been hoping, I guess hoping against hope, that you could get him back for 2012, and in a healthy fashion. And I think he looked pretty good yesterday.
Yeah, he had Corey had some rust on him, and we went in with a 15 to 25 range in terms of number of snaps. He played 20 snaps, so we hit it right down the middle. You were right on it as well. He did some very good things that we've seen Corey do, but there were some rust. It was his first time lining up and playing in a football game since last season in New York. But he is going to be a good addition. He gives us flexibility, gives us some multiplicity in terms of how we're going to align our defensive linemen based on situations, based on game plan.
That's a good situation to have.
Yeah, one other personnel guy before we move on and start talking maybe a little bit about Dallas in our next segment, Drew Davis. You knew Harry wasn't going to play. Drew gets the snaps during the week. But it's one thing to get practice time. It's another thing to go out and execute. And his first catch, I mean, he is an outlet for Ryan in the flat, 15 yards, and then completely executes perfectly the little fake screen over the top throw.
Yes. I'm so happy for Drew Davis. Drew was the guy that was on our practice squad last year, free agent. Comes to work every day, not real vocal, but he's worked extremely hard at becoming a wide receiver here in the NFL. And if you would have told me that he was going to get a touchdown pass, I had an inkling it might happen, but I wasn't for sure. We had this thing designed. It was well designed, and Drew was able to execute it. In the first play, they just left him they left him free.
And it's almost like he wasn't on the roster, Coach.
That's right. Well, it's like, oh, they're not throwing it to this guy, right? And lo and behold, Matt goes through his reads. There he is, and it's a first down.
Yeah,
it's a third down conversion, you know. Really the first one of the game, and that gets us rolling. And it can't go unnoticed the way our wide receivers and the way Drew blocked.
Yeah.
He did a great job blocking. I thought Roddy had his best game blocking since he's been here, and Roddy has done a great job blocking in years past. He was challenged this week in terms of having to be an integral part of getting our run game going, and he stepped up as well as Julio.
All right, we got more coming up with Falcons head coach Mike Smith. We're live at Flowery Branch.
Philadelphia brings four. Matt steps, going to sail it deep. Jones is there. It's caught. 20, 15, 10, 5. Julio Jones, touchdown Atlanta. What a catch. 63 yards. And pick out your favorite Pro Bowler. He torched all the way down the far sideline.
Get coverage of every NFL team from your smartphone. To get NFL Mobile, call Star NFL to get it now. NFL Mobile only from Verizon.
Back with Falcon head coach Mike Smith, Sam Baker in our second half hour in our Buckhead Beef Player Spotlight. Falcons and Cowboys is Sunday night at 8:20. It's the national broadcast on NBC. And our pregame coverage starts shortly after 6 o'clock on 790 The Zone and Star 94 here in Atlanta. Dallas has lost three out of their last four, and boy, a lot of them have been hard luck. Yesterday was one of them. But just try to win Sunday, right, Smitty?
No doubt. That's the next mission, and that's how we have to, have to approach it. And this is a very good football team coming in. They've had some tough losses the last few weeks, and I was on the plane flying back and caught the ball game. Got an opportunity to watch it. I don't usually get to watch TV copies and. When they say it's a game of inches, that game was a game of inches last night. It could have easily had a different outcome.
We're shifting gears now. We got 4-3 on the road after the bye, and we're going to go 3-4 in our building. Yeah, it was the opposite way before the bye.
Yeah, we're slipping.
So
yeah.
Here comes Dallas, and I know you have it. I know you've probably watched them than many people probably have any idea. But when you look at this defense. It's a big front seven, isn't it? It's a big group.
Yeah, and it starts, I think, the guy that's the centerpiece is the guy that lines up over the center, and Jay Ratliff. I mean, he's a big, athletic football player, and he creates havoc. He keeps linebackers free, creates double teams in that 3-4 defense. And then the second phase that you have to be prepared for is you got DeMarcus Ware, who can rush the passer. I think he's got 7.5 sacks already this year, and you got to know where he is. And Rob Ryan does a great job in putting together a game plan where you're not going to know that where those guys are going to line up. You got a better chance of knowing where Ratliff's going to line up than the other guys. He's going to be somewhere between the guards. But they've got some talented guys. They went out and added some free agents and draft pick, you know, the rookie draft pick out of LSU.
Yeah, Mo Claiborne.
Yes, yep. Very talented guy. And then the free agent that they picked up at the other corner.
Yeah, the other corner. Is it Brandon? It's not Brandon Carr.
Yes.
Brandon Carr. That's a point.
Yep. And so they've got two very good corners. I had Gerald Sensenbaugh in Jacksonville.
Good player there, coach.
Very athletic guy. Can run and hit guy. Their defense is very formidable. And usually at the end of the year, I don't know where they stand right now, but at the end of the year, they're going to be a top 10 defense if Rob Ryan is coaching them, because he's one of the, you know, he's one of the better defensive coordinators in the NFL. And then offensively, Tony Romo, he's a Pro Bowl quarterback. I think we've just got a long line of Pro Bowl quarterbacks we've gone through these first 7 games. And he's got a tight end that I think, what, he had 15?
Yeah, I think it turned out being 15 catches
yesterday.
Single game record.
Yeah, he's got a lot like your guy.
Yeah, he's a lot like our guy, and he creates those matchup issues that you've got to deal with. And Dez Bryant is a big, strong, talented wide receiver. Miles Austin,
big guy too.
Big guy too.
Yeah.
Yep. So
when we have these conversations during training camp, we always talk about getting to the 53. And then after the 53 is determined, of course, there's a transaction here or there as the year goes on, those kind of thing, injury, what have you. We were talking in the first segment about Drew Davis and Peter Kahns. And I know you had some bumps yesterday with Sean Witherspoon and Kevin Cohn. You said there'd be more on those guys Wednesday after you practice here. But this is also the time of year where you start really counting on the value of your 53, I guess is what I'm getting at. Do you think of it more and more as your 53 as you get deeper into the season? I mean, based on yesterday, there's Kahns and Davis, who are guys that have helped you but certainly haven't had the roles they've had yesterday. And that's what it's got to be this time of year, right?
Most definitely, Wes. Everybody has a defined role, and we talk about it, but that role can change just like that. And you don't know who it's going to be, and the further you get into the season, that 53 becomes 50 or 48 or 49 healthy ones to pick from, and that's what you've got to you've got to work with. And these guys have been trained, even though they don't have a whole lot of experience playing in the game. They've been trained through the off season, and I think philosophically, those guys know that we want them to be prepared, and if there is a situation where they've got to come in, we're not going to go out and get somebody. We're going to work with the guys that we've trained and are ready to go. Peter Kahns had a heck of a first game, and he had some matchup issues because he's going against a very good defensive line, and he did an outstanding job yesterday.
You know, when you talk about guys that have gotten more and more play time and have given them opportunity to maybe be a little bit more in line with where you'd like them, a guy is like Akeem Dent. Now, Akeem was forced to play sub for you yesterday when Sean went down. He had gotten forced into action with your sub package the week before. How much value did that carry over from the next week to be able to plug him in like that?
A lot of value. You always got to be looking on the positives, because there's going to be injuries in football games. So, yes, a player went down, but you're getting a backup. Like you said, last week against Oakland, or 2 weeks ago against Oakland, he was forced into action and had to take all those snaps. This week he ends up through the fourth quarter having to play in our sub package. And all that can do is it can help us. Yes, we want to have our best players out there. You want Sean out there. Unfortunately, wasn't able to return to the game yesterday. So the next man's got to step up and go in and play. And, in the long run, there's going to be injuries, and you have to be able to deal with them. And the teams that deal with them successfully or better than others are going to be the ones that are going to have an opportunity to play in the second season.
In our final couple minutes here with Coach Mike Smith, and then Sam Baker joins us in our second half hour with Dave Archer Westrom at the Falcons Complex, the Mike Smith Show presented by Superior Plumbing. Coming back home in this kind of ball game, off the heels of the win yesterday, you're going to get that great building. And now you've got it carved up. I mean, these are the kinds of games, as Dave said yesterday on the air, these are the kinds of games where your fan base really rallies. Yep. And that's got to mean a lot to your team, too.
Oh, it does. There's nothing like coming out of that tunnel in the Georgia Dome. It's something that is a big advantage for us. You know, it sets the tempo. We talk about we want to set the tempo. Well, the fans are really the ones that set it. And we know this is going to be a big game. It's the only game in town, so to speak, at that time slot. And we're looking forward to it. We've got a lot of preparation that we've got to get done this week. But we are looking forward to it. And when you have success, you're going to get opportunities to play in games like these. Play on Sunday night, play on Monday night, play on Thursday night. And, you know, it's fun for the players, it's fun for the coaches, and most of all, it's fun for the fans. I think there's nothing like, you know, a night game in the National Football League.
Well, it's a great opportunity for the fans to get down there, and we encourage you to get down there early. There are some precautions, obviously, from a security standpoint of getting in the building. Get down there early. You're going to have enough time. It's an 8:30 kick, I believe.
8:20
kick. So get down there early. Go ahead and do your tailgate or whatever. Get over in the building. Let's have that building rocking as the Falcons hit the field. And this is a situation, Smitty, and you talked a little bit about it in your press conference real quickly. Dallas does a lot of stuff at the line of scrimmage. They're a team that's similar to us. Romo changes things, does a lot of things at the line of scrimmage. So a lot of communication the fans could have some effect on.
Oh, could have a lot of effect. You know, if we can get 4 or 5 procedural penalties, you're looking at 20-25 yards. And believe me, whether it's on first down to make it a 1st and 15 or 3rd down to make it from 3rd and 7 to 3rd and 12. Or 3rd and 2 to 3rd and 7 makes a whole lot of makes a whole lot of difference. And yes, the Dallas Cowboys will change plays at the line of scrimmage. Tony Romo is one of the best in the business at doing it. So let's make that an advantage for the Atlanta Falcons this week, where they can't communicate or they're going to jump off sides, and we're going to get the 5 yards.
Absolutely. Smitty, thanks as always for the time. Good luck getting ready for them this week.
All right,
Arch. Here we are at the Buckhead Beef Player Spotlight.
Yes.
And no one typifies the Buckhead Beef Player Spotlight.
It's the man that needs some Buckhead beef right here. Let's give him a certificate for
That's
some
right.
beef.
That's right. Sam Baker will join us. He gets the freshest, finest, most tender steaks, chops, and more, or whatever else he wants. If he doesn't, he'll show up at their door and tell them what he wants. From Atlanta's own Buckhead Beef, it's the best there is, and he definitely deserves it. Good to see you. Thanks for spending some time with us here on a Monday.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.
Nice job yesterday, huh? You guys kind of got out there after the bye week and said, here's the way this is going to be, boys, and right. We're in town, huh?
Yeah, well, we kind of knew what kind of game it was going to be, and so we set our mentality on Wednesday. You know, Coach Smith wanted it to be a physical Wednesday practice. And so we said we got to keep that mindset rolling until Sunday.
Yeah, no question about it. You guys ran the ball to a tune of 145 on the ground, protected your guy back there. What do you take more pride in, Sam? Running the foot, coming off, and I think I asked you this last week, good answer. Come off the ball and hit a guy in the mouth or, you know, pass block, pass it, because it's two completely different disciplines.
It is. You know, especially against that front that the Eagles have where they got so many guys that can rush the passer. Mm-hmm. And they're about 8 deep, probably more.
Right.
And so they just keep bringing in fresh guys. And so it was really important that we ran the ball there just to stay balanced, because if you get one-dimensional with them, they can just, you know, tee off on the quarterback. And so, you know, yesterday, it's always more fun if you ask any lineman. They like to run the ball because, you know, if there's a tackle for loss, it's not that big a deal. If they're hitting Matt, it's a big deal for us.
Now, coming off the ball against that set, how much did they change? There was a lot of talk about Todd Bowles, the new coordinator, mm-hmm. how much would it change? And I did think they came with a little bit more pressure against
they
you guys.
Did, yeah.
How much did they change the wide nine look at all? Did they adjust that?
You know what they did? They did quite a bit. They from last year, they changed it to this year. But in our game, they ran. There were some unscouted looks that, you know, Smitty talked about that the night before the game. Hey, we're going to see some unscouted looks. But, you know, with all the stuff that Coach Nolan's defense runs at us, we should be ready for anything. So that's that. We kind of expected that.
Okay.
You're coming up on Sunday night. It'll be your 50th career start, the way I've got it charted, as a Falcon. And you and Matt came in at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, you feel like you kind of been on the front of the boat, so to speak, as this water's been charted here? I mean, what's it been like?
It's been awesome, man. And just to be part of the winning culture here and just the group that Coach Smith and, you know, Thomas have put together, and the locker room is one of – I can't imagine another locker room like in the NFL with so many unselfish guys and guys that just love to be around each other.
I think people get a – and they can go to Falcons.com and AtlantaFalcons.com and see the D-Block show.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can see some of the stuff. Everybody starts giggling when you talk about D-Block because everybody knows what it is. But the defensive guys do their online show, for those of you that haven't seen it. It's worth a trip to the internet to see a show. But you're talking about just personalities and the mesh of the personalities.
Right.
And it's not like that. I mean – you played a long time. Dave played a long time. It's a rare thing when you can find a group that has as good a time collectively as y'all seemingly do.
Right. But and you hear about the stories all the time, guys whose personalities take over teams, and just, you know, not to call these guys out, but the TOs and guys like that who you know, seem to cause a lot of problems wherever they go. And so I think that was the thing that everybody's on the same page, and they're all focused on the same thing.
Falcons offensive tackle Sam Baker with us here on the Player Spotlight on the Mike Smith Show here on Sports Radio 790 The Zone. Sam, talk about your journey a little bit. You come in as a number one draft pick, injured. You've had to play through injury. There's been criticism attached to it. Whenever you're the left tackle, there's always someone that's going to be looking at that because that's a skill position anymore. That's not an offensive line. You're now qualified as a skill guy, yet you're finally healthy and you kind of got to where you wanted to be. Talk about that journey and how that's been difficult, yet maybe molded you a little bit.
Right, it's difficult, but I think all those experiences early on playing, you know, through some injuries. But, you know, it's the NFL. Everybody's not, you know, everybody's not healthy, and so it's everybody's got nicks and bruises, and so I'm not going to use that as an excuse. And so I've allowed those experiences to kind of take me to where I am today. And so, you know, I've been through a lot, but it's definitely strengthened me quite a bit.
Is it one of those things that you grow from, either a positive or negative, somehow or another makes you better at what you do?
Yeah, well, you know, it could take you the other way, too.
Can it?
Yeah, it could take you. You could kind of go walling in it. But I think, you know, Coach Smith has always had my back and really encouraged me. That was one of the things this offseason. He really reached out to me, and it meant a lot to me.
Wow.
What kind of things do you know? You hear about guys that are running 40s and running state. What do you do from a physical standpoint? Give us a kind of an idea of what maybe a week would be like as you prepare to get ready for the season. And I know you ramp it up or scale it back based on what time of year it is.
Right.
But let's say we're in the middle of the off season. What would be something you'd be doing to get yourself ready to play?
Well, because I've had so many injuries and I have a back issue that I have to kind of take care of daily, I think – For me, it's pretty calculated, and I have a group in California that helps me out a lot, and it's you know, it starts with a lot of rehab, and then you get into, you can't, you know, it's not like when I was in, you know, playing NJB basketball and I could just roll out of bed and do whatever I wanted.
Right.
No, it's I got to warm up the right muscles, I got to get loose and get mobile, and basically, you know, like you said, it's, you know, tackles nowadays, you have to be kind of a skill player.
Yeah.
So it's not so much you would figure guys would be pounding weights and everything like that, but I think more the focus now is on athleticism, and so training athleticism, you know, jump, different kind of jumps, different kind of things to allow you to move and keep a base the whole time.
So you've got a pregame regimen far beyond just the norm, then I'm going to guess.
Oh,
right?
I mean, we
you're a first bus guy, I know that.
Oh, we get our own bus before the first bus, the O-line does, and so, you know, Jeff Fish is our, you know, director of athletic performance.
Right.
We're in there probably 3.5 hours before we even go out for warm-ups. We're getting warmed up, and, you know, everybody's got their own ritual. You know, I think, you know, Tyson and Todd McClure, they get there probably the earliest out of everybody on the home games. They probably get there 4 hours before we have to go out, and they have a they get warmed up, they do their stuff, and then they have a little game that they play.
Yes, yes, the vaunted football bowling game.
Yeah, we call it idiot games.
And idiot. So,
yeah, and that's basically what it is. But it gets heated at times. But you know, but for me, it's all about getting the body warm and making sure every muscle is, you know, firing for that game.
Safe to say there's no money being exchanged in any of those games. Just a friendly game, right?
Yeah, just...
Yeah. Okay, when you look at – you've been in this league now long enough. You're in the middle of your fifth season. How about some – give us a couple of names of guys that have jumped out at you and been pretty good players. I mean, I know you get one every week because you're the left tackle.
Yeah,
you're going to get the guy, the fire breather coming off the edge. But
right.
A couple that have stood out in your mind.
Well, there's a lot of different type of guys now.
Okay.
You have the Peppers that's the freak athlete that,
right.
You know, that – I think, you know, Todd McClure always talks about how his old coach, always used to say that he could play all 11 on defense, could play every position. He's a freak. And, you know, him and then Trent Cole, obviously, different type of body. You know, on paper, you might not think that he would be that good, but he is that good. And then you got the guys like DeMarcus Ware and you know, that's coming up. And
right.
Pierre Pauls that are just lengthy and changing the game now.
It's amazing how many different guys you see and the different kinds of bodies you
because
see.
Because Trent Cole, on paper, you're talking about a guy, he's, what, 6'1", 6'2", maybe?
Yeah, probably 255.
Right.
And won't run a blazing 40, but you watch him on tape, and he's just wreaking havoc.
He's one of them outdoor guys. I told you, Archie, he's that bow hunter or whatever guy. I mean, he goes crazy in the woods,
yeah,
and he gets that position or whatever.
Just a mere 69.5 career sacks.
Right, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so.
No, he's going to make it in this league. Yeah.
And then you talk about you bring up DeMarcus Ware and Pierre Paul. Let's talk about those guys here before we get to the break because they're coming up here in the next couple of weeks. Long and yet heavier guys, 275,
but
280 guys, right?
But great athletes, like, can run and just turn the corner and also, you know, have a great awareness of how to rush the passer in different angles.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what makes it difficult.
All right, we'll take a break with Sam Baker. When we come back, by the way, Arch, a rumor that a couple of weeks ago some of the rookie linemen had to take the line to dinner. Was that?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it was,
and we'll
quite find the feed, I heard.
And we're also going to roll out the find out what's going on with the boys from Troy. Find out
about
that, too. We'll
only
to
fitting, Sam.
That.
I'm sorry.
We've got to talk about it.
We've got to talk about it, all right? Sports Talk with Sam Baker on West Coast Pac-12 football coming up as well. All part of the Mike Smith Coaches Show and our Buckhead Beef Player Spotlight that continues. And don't forget, you can text Sam at 77530, part of our U.S. Auto Sales. You tell us text line on Sports Radio 79 The Zone.
Matt Ryan takes the snap. Philly brings four. Ryan's going to throw all alone. Touchdown! Drew Davis caught it. Yes! Touchdown, Atlanta. Drew Davis out of Oregon. David, of all the guys in the building.
Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile now and experience NFL on Verizon 4G LTE. NFL Mobile is built to bring you the game.
And back at Flower Branch with Dave Archer and offensive tackle Sam Baker's here with us in our Buckhead Beef Player Spotlight, West Durham. A nice moment for Drew Davis, huh? That was
great
good,
moment.
Huh, Sam?
Yeah, he's a great kid, works his butt off, and so to see him get his touchdown is awesome.
Yeah.
You get Garrett can't go, and you had a pretty good IP, who's going to start.
Yeah.
But Garrett, let me tell you this, folks. I stood on the side in the field, and Garrett did everything he could possibly do to convince the coaches he was ready to go.
Man.
I mean,
yeah,
he busted
yeah.
his rear end to try to get ready to play.
He's a warrior. Anybody will tell you that. That guy is a warrior. You know, he's got some issues right now, and so hopefully he can get healthy, come back and help us, you know. But like you said, Peter stepped up big time.
Yeah, and how hard is that, Sam? You started as a rookie. Here's Peter. Now, he didn't get – plugged right in like you did.
Yeah.
He's had a chance to watch a little bit. How difficult is that to step in like that?
I mean, it's really tough, especially against the front that he played against, you know, against Colin Jenkins. And, you know, for him, he's come in and he's been a part of the group right away just because he worked so hard. And we saw, you know, the time he put in the film room, and he was always asking questions. And so we had a good idea that he'd be ready to go when it was time. And so to watch him, you know, on that day and just everybody, you know, play the way they did was awesome.
Yeah.
You guys have had some changeable parts. I mean, you know, guys have been asked to do a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Joe a year ago, Sweet Tech got banged up. You lost him earlier in the camp.
Mm-hmm.
The camaraderie of your group, and we were joking about the dinner. mm-hmm. before the break.
Yeah.
But there's the O-line dinner, right?
I mean, you guys
had it a couple weeks ago, and apparently how many guys were there? All show up at one place?
There was, I think it was 16 total.
Can you imagine the panic of the raconteur who sees 16 of these cats show up at the door?
Those guys get fired up. They love it, though. Every time we do the rookie dinner like that, those guys, whoever it is, the waiters and the managers there, they get so fired up. They love it because they know it's going to be a big night.
All right, now, okay. We know everybody can put away some groceries. Shoot, I can put away some groceries. Who's the guy? Who's the guy that sits down and you got to keep your hands away from his mouth because it could be over?
You know what? And I think all the other guys would agree on that. It's me.
Okay.
It's me.
You?
Okay. So, yeah, it's me. And because, you know, you guys don't know it, but I was 360 pounds in high school.
I knew you were a bigger guy in
high school. I was humongous. I was a 360-pound 16-year-old. And, you know, my dad was 500 pounds at one point.
Well, so we're gigantic.
Just big people, but we know how to eat too. And so McClure is like the bird. He only eats like a little bit of his plate. So whenever we go out to dinner, I always sit next to him and finish his stuff.
Because that's because he's old enough. He can't digest everything.
That's what it is. Yeah. He needs some fiber.
When he's gotten into cooking now. Todd's got the grill and all the stuff. Every time on Twitter, if you follow McClure, it's always pictures of food.
Is it what?
Yeah.
I need to be at his house, man. He's got all those kids. He's got to, you know, somebody's got to feed him. So,
you talked about the camaraderie of the locker room. Now with this good start, you guys get into the trunk of the schedule here. I mean, 9 ball games left in the regular season, one exchange on a short week, that kind of thing. What does that chemistry and camaraderie mean? Because you guys have, you know, won some games coming from behind, done some things.
Right.
You know, kind of these first 7 are coming all shapes and sizes now.
Right.
I mean, what does that camaraderie mean to the intangibles of this football team, Sam?
Definitely, like you said, when your back is against the wall, you know, you can lean on each other. You can look at that guy and say, man, I trust that guy. I know he's going to be in the right spot. I know what he's done, what he needs to do to prepare for this game. He's ready to go. And so when you got to get that last 2-minute drill to win the game, there's no question in anybody's eyes. Everybody says, okay, we can do this. You know, nobody's thinking, gosh, you know, what are we going to do now?
Sam, you guys aren't getting any love around the country. I mean, nobody's talking about the Falcons, and I know it's because 3 of the last 4 in the playoffs haven't been able to move past the first round. It doesn't really matter. How much do you guys hear that stuff? Do you guys discuss that at all or just kind of push it out?
No, but I think that's the way we like it. You know, as long as, you know, let them talk about everybody else, we'll carry on and just be businesslike. And so for us, we don't hear any of that. We don't really talk about it at all. That's not something addressed by the coaches. The main focus is on the Mission 8.
Well, and now here comes Dallas, and you mentioned DeMarcus Ware, among others, as being a big challenge. But it is a home game, and it is Sunday night, and I know what the dome means to you guys.
Definitely, and coming back to the dome and having that advantage, because it gets rocking, especially, you know, on those night games, it gets rocking. And so definitely going to be a lot of energy in there.
All right, we got to shift gears, man. I got to talk to you. We got to talk about SC. That's USC on the West Coast, not the USC
Southern
in Columbia, South Carolina. Southern Cal.
You don't have any problems on the team with, like, Matthews and Dante. And
me and Abe every day.
And you and Abraham?
That's our handshake. We say SC.
Oh, really?
SC every single day.
East Coast, West Coast. I love that. Okay, your guys taking on the chin this weekend. They're hopefully setting up the mega matchup with Oregon, and that's still coming.
Mm-hmm.
But the Arizona loss, I mean.
It's tough, man. And I think, you know, just from an outsider's perspective, obviously I'm not there. I don't know what's going on. A lot of the coaching staff that I was with, you know, is up in Seattle
right,
now. So
right.
It's
right there.
You know, I was with Lane for a little while, but I don't know him real well. But I think he's done a great job with the sanctions and all that. But I think the lack of scholarships and not being able to bang in practice, you know, for the younger guys, I think that's important. And so I think sometimes that physical nature kind of catches up with them, that, you know, they lack that sometimes. And I think every once in a while in these road games, because they play really well at home. That's the thing. I think the great thing about them playing Oregon this week is that they're at home, and so those road games have seemed to have caught up with them.
Sam, you played on some teams that had some incredible talent,
right?
But Marquise Lee, this wide receiver,
man, it's crazy because him and
– I mean, we're talking about quantifying great players off a great program, but, I mean, this guy's like –
yeah,
it's unbelievable.
His numbers are just off the charts, what he's put up. And the other guy, Robert Woods,
yeah,
you know,
he's good
the
too.
Same, and they went to the same high school. You know, it's crazy to think of, you know, how dominant they were. But just – yeah, I was shocked when I saw that. I think it was like 345 he caught. And then he had another 75-yard kickoff return. He's unbelievable, man.
Biggest game for you guys in college at USC. I know the UCLA, the crosstown rival, Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Which one's the big one?
For us, it was Notre Dame because I think they were – at the time, they were more relevant. I know we did lose to UCLA 1 year, but I think Notre Dame was the big matchup. And they – when we were in our prime, they almost beat us at Notre Dame. And it was a close game, and we had to grind it out there.
That's right. I remember that.
It is fascinating to think about and where the Pac-12 is today and where you played because – you played with Pete Carroll, and Jim Harbaugh was just getting started at Stanford.
Right.
I mean, the evolution of that league, Mike Bellotti was still at Oregon when you
right.
started. I mean, it was the evolution of that league here in the last 5 or 6 years is really quite phenomenal since you came to the NFL.
Definitely. I mean, it's I think the tough thing is that there's a couple teams that have trouble recruiting,
yeah.
you know, where everybody's looking to Southern California for some of the athletes. And SC, you know, they get some national recruits, but I think the tough thing now is that the Washington States and the Utahs have a tough time recruiting.
All right, RU, tell us text line at 77530, brought to you by U.S.
Yeah.
Auto Sales here in our
what
final minute. Our text is from DJ,
okay.
who says, what quarterback would always come down and chill with the old lineman during camp when nobody else would?
Yeah, no, Shock was a good dude. I already know. He's a good dude, and I love him. We always talked about how he was going to run for mayor, you know, because everybody in Georgia loved him. And I remember when Matt first got here, you know, Matt was the guy, and you'd go to the mall or something like that, and they'd just bum rush DJ. Everybody,
yeah.
he was the celeb, man. I mean, after practice, they'd be screaming, DJ. It wasn't Roddy. It wasn't Mike Turner. It wasn't everybody. It was DJ. And so I'm sure it's still like that, man. You don't know, but
yes.
I know He's got his kids now, so
yeah.
that's the next step.
Sam, thanks for the time. Great.
Yeah.
I appreciate you hanging out with us.
Keep it going, big guy. Keep it going. Stay healthy.